Imagine yourself under a starry sky, around the warm glow of a sacred fire, where speakers gather to share their wisdom and insights. Creating a sacred space where all are welcome to warm their hands, here are your hosts, Caitlin Stormbreaker, Sarinth Odinson, and Jim Two Snakes, discuss spirituality, mythology, animism, and culture around a virtual sacred fire.
Welcome.
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 Welcome. Won't you join us around Grandfather Fire?
O star, the fairest one in sight, we grant your loftiness the right to some obscurity of cloud. It will not do to say of night, since dark is what brings out your light. Some mystery becomes the proud, but to the holy tectern, in your reserve is not allowed. Say something to us that we can learn by heart, and when alone, repeat. Say something, say it, and it burns. I burn, but say with what degree of heat. Talk Fahrenheit, talk centigrade. Use language we can comprehend. Tell us what elements you blend. It gives us strangely little aid, but it does tell us something in the end. And steadfast as Keats' Eremite, not even stooping from its sphere, it asks a little of us here. It asks of us a certain height, so when times the mob is swayed, to carry praise or blame too far, we may choose something like a star to stay our minds on and be stayed.
As our journey comes to close, we find ourselves at a crossroad. The one door may be shut. A new one will open when it's ready. And though two authors leave this book, the third remains with three in the wings to add to the stories that we've told. I thank you all for the journey you have shared with both myself and my dear friend and teacher, who has spent much of his life breaking down the barriers that I built. And I said it once, and I'll say it again, because when you plant a seed in ground that has been cared for and nurtured and brought up to stem, the only choice you have is to bloom. So my blessing goes to the new co-hosts that will join us soon. May your seed find the sky as your journey takes on your arrival. May your flower or branches or leaves break through. And may you as well find what I did. And I can't wait to watch you all bloom.
Welcome, everybody, to Around Grandfather Fire. You're listening to episode 121, the end of season 5. Yay! Woo! I am your co-host for at least this episode, Jim Two Snakes, along with Caitlin Stormbreaker and Sarinth Odinson. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. A little emotional, but...
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah. It feels right, though. You know, I was thinking about it all week leading up to this, wondering how I was going to feel during this episode. It feels right. You know, I trust the people that we chose to take over to do an amazing job, because I know these people, they're wonderful and amazing. And I'm so excited for the announcement when you guys find out who we picked.
It's so great. I know. Yeah, the people, I'm right there with you, Caitlin, because it's just like there is so much going on. And I think one of the things I'm most excited about is kind of the diversity of voices of who Sarinth has picked to move forward with as co-hosts. And, because, you know, honestly, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it being a cisnormative white man, I don't feel like I need to be at the forefront anymore. So seeing the people that are coming, it's just like, this is so great. It just expands the community so much. And I'm just really excited to see how it goes forward.
And outside of that, I do love the diversity of the voices that have been chosen to step forward. But, you know, our stories have kind of been told again and again.
I know, so now
we're bringing in new stories for new chapters and new expansions and new ideas and new understandings of worlds that, you know, the two of us can't really understand because we're not a part of it, though we are allies, you know.
What new outrageous thing can Jim say this week only gets me so far? So,
yeah, and how much of an asshole is Storm going to be today? Let's see. So we're passing on the baton to new ones.
There's only so far the bus can go.
Yeah, well, you know, it's time to switch out drivers. It's a new shift.
Exactly.
Yeah. You get the keys, Sarant.
Oh, gods.
Sorry Which for means, when you get run
now
over.
That I'm not driving the bus anymore, I got to hide like hell.
Yes, because it's coming.
Bus is stuck in your corner, gone.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So it's been really good. I'm really. It does feel right. You're absolutely correct, Kaylin. It feels like, you know, this is the good and natural point. And
yeah,
you know, and I'm excited because it is like. When we were at Pagan Fest, people came up and joined the fire. Sometimes there's big groups. Sometimes there's only just a couple of us. We had different shifts because we couldn't all be there all the time. So this just feels so, so natural. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. Cause I mean, technically the three of us have been tending fire together for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. If COVID hadn't taken, you know, Hit Pagan Fest glass jaw. No, they were pretty good. They weren't glass jawed, but it was like, it was a nasty uppercut, you know, that COVID hit with a lot of the different conventions and that sort of thing. And, it would have been 10 years. So
actually, if they had gone through COVID, it would have been 12. Our last year would have been year 10.
Yeah. 2020 would have been year 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's so it's like, wow.
So how are you doing, Sarant?
Life has decided it's going to throw all the challenges at me in the last couple of days.
What the hell was this week right. like? I mean, yeah, damn.
That sounds about right.
It's something in the fucking water, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
So my car is in the shop.
Again?
No, not again. There was a period of time where it was... Oh, God, yeah, that was this year, wasn't it? Yeah, so, yes. Okay, it's in the shop again. So,
yeah.
Not the same shop because the dealership is backed up, let's just put it that way. Like, yeah, we can't get you in until the end of the month. I'm like, I need this car, guys. So I'm going with a new repair shop. Wish me luck.
That's always hard, but...
But at least they're down the road, so if I have to walk... I probably could.
I do hope 2023 is shaking out the last of the bullshit because, man, yeah, this week is like, it just felt like everything was trying to pick a fight. My coworkers, my boss, my car, my this, my that. It's like, are you all trying to pick a fight?
I mean, honestly, like, it kind of feels that way because work has been a bit madcap. It went from no overtime to, hi, we're going to do overtime now to, You thought it was going to be a calm holiday. Here, have a bunch of 2-to-1s.
Yeah, you live here now. Have fun.
So, aside from that, my daughter is yet again sick with something.
Oh, no.
Really fun because my daughter is a fucking petri dish. So, here's
how build up that immune system. Yep.
Dude.
Build up that immune system, I'm telling you.
So it's just the hits have been coming, but they've been spaced out enough that we've been able to at least roll with the punches, kind of like a sloppy drunk, but at least we've been able to roll with it. I'll be honest, like I've been looking forward to and have been fearing this episode. And just as a little bit of an update, the reason why Mudong Jin was not on with us is because she actually got sick because her daughter is also a Petri dish.
Oh, yeah. I figured it was something like that.
The last two times that she was going to come on the show, her daughter decided it'd be really cool to bring something home from school. So that would be why we don't have our interview with Mudong Jin.
Well, that just means
worst kind of show and tell.
You get to interview her in the new year with your new co-hosts.
Yep. And so I've been approaching this episode with a mix of excitement and trepidation. Excitement because, yeah, I'm being handed the keys. Trepidation because we've been doing this for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
which has constituted, what, 5 years, roughly?
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
What episode are we on now? 100-something?
121.
121. And yeah, don't worry, folks. I've actually got a Google Doc where I'm keeping all the relevant information. So going, what episode are we on? Every time we come on. Like I said, I've been looking forward to and fearing this episode because it means the end of an era that we started together. It means that things are going to change, and that always kind of is a scary time, but it's also an exciting time. It's a time that, you know, when earlier this year you guys were like, yeah, it's about that time. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't think I can do this. And then I went from, I don't think I can do this, to, I can do it all on my own. And y'all were like, please don't. Yeah,
that was a natural progression. And both me and Jim each grabbed a shoulder and was like, no, too far.
Yeah, you
like,
can do it. You can do it. You're right.
So for you wonderful folks who've been following the episodes and have tracked my progress, it was a process of not only poor Jim and Storm breaking me down, but also my partner and various friends behind the scenes going, this is a very dumb idea, Sarah. You've been doing this show with other people the entire time you've run it. Please don't do this to yourself. And for somebody who bitches and preaches about community so much, maybe you should.
It is such a challenge. You know, that's originally why I asked you way back in the day to start coming on as a regular co-host with Jaguar and the Owl, because I was doing most of those episodes either by myself or with a guest. And it is hard.
It still blows my mind that an ABC affiliate put up with us for that long.
Right.
I mean, I can be long-winded if you want me to talk about out of my ass about any topic. Yeah, I can give you a half an hour or an hour-long show, but I'm not going to guarantee it's going to make any kind of fucking sense. That's why I needed you guys there.
I mean, and to be fair to myself, you know, I'm also, as Emily's pointing out in the chat, I'm writing a book. I'm working a bunch of overtime. And yeah, it's part of it has been having to ego check myself, not only ego check myself, but other people in the community ego check and be like, are you sure this is a smart idea, my man? but also, it's been really gratifying to be able to reach out to people and say, hey, I know at this point I can't do this on my own. Would you join me? I don't know what your schedule looks like, but and sometimes there's that. So that trepidation also extends to asking other people to join because I'm concerned about putting too much on people or making people feel obligated or that kind of thing. So it took a little bit of courage for me to reach out to other people, not only because I had that harebrained short time where I thought I could do this on my own, but also asking folks to join around the fire in and of itself can be a little intimidating because, like, what right. if they say no? These are people that I like a lot.
That's kind of it's a hard aspect of any sort of leadership is the recognition that no, I actually can't do it all myself. I might actually have to ask other people.
Not only that I can't, but even if I could, I shouldn't.
Right. Well, and I mean, let's be honest, it's one of our strengths between the three of us to actually step up and ask for some help, right? We're all really good at that, right?
Totally.
After years of failure after failure, I finally can do it a little.
Yeah, same. I can be like, you know, barely keeping my face above water and quietly call out for help now. So at least I'm that far, right?
I'm shouting for, well, okay, I'm talking loudly for help because I don't want to shout. That would be rude.
I don't want to startle anybody. Is that okay? If, you know, I don't want, if you're not busy.
It's one of my life's deep pleasures that I've been able to do this show with you both. It's something that has been a bedrock in my life and has been an organizing force as well. Like AGF kind of forced me to get organized in a big way. Not just in terms of, you know, Google Calendar now runs my life, but
I feel,
it,
yeah.
Oh, the thing is like I was a disorganized frigging mess before this show and Jaguar and the Owl. Like I did not have a sense of organization. So like being a podcast host forced me to level up in that way. But it also forced me to communicate. So I actually have to talk to people in my life and be like, so this is my plan. I can't just like spur of the moment, by the way. And I used to be really, really bad about that. And part of it was developing proper coping mechanisms for my ADHD. But part of it was also just developing the communication skills to like let people know what was going on in my life.
Right, right.
And yeah. the Sacred Fire will correct you on that. And I was just thinking about that as I was lighting these two candles, which I light at the beginning of the podcast episode. This is my old one, and I lit the new one off of the old one. I thought that was terribly appropriate. And that kind of passing of the torch, passing of the fire is something that I'm really looking forward to with season 6 coming up. And all the new adventures around this fire that we're going to have.
What I'm really looking forward to is the guests that the new hosts want to bring on. That's one of the things I'm most curious about, you know, because they have kind of expertise in areas that the three of us don't and might look in areas that we wouldn't normally. So I'm curious to see what they come up with. And I honestly have to say, you guys have really changed my life from, because you asked me to join AGF around the Sacred Fire at Michigan Pagan Fest. Like, we were literally tending a fire when you were like, hey, join us on the show. And I was like, what, me? No.
It's the one place where you can't escape.
Why would you want me? I'm a dumbass. And you're like, no, you're not. Shut up. Just sit down and talk. And I need to go back and listen to those first, like, probably 5 episodes to see how many words I actually spoke. Because I don't think it was a lot. Except for the one where you guys introduced me and I was just, like, a nervous wreck the whole time. But what you have done for my confidence alone, which is something that I have struggled with my whole life, you know, not just because of the way I was raised and by who I was raised by, because, you know, older parent, you know, that kind of thing. And girls aren't really taught to have much confidence in the world because we're told we're being pushy or domineering or annoying or whatever. Just go sit in the corner and be quiet, you know, like be seen and not heard. And you guys really helped me develop my voice and sort of navigate the murky waters of shadow work that I didn't know where to look. And you shined lights in certain areas, and I realized some things that I thought were flaws were actually immeasurable strengths that I couldn't ignore any longer. That's what you guys in the show did to me, was pull out those things that I was afraid to express, and I'm better for it, and I have you guys to thank for that. So, and our community for being so supportive and loving, and holy shit, we have 121 episodes in 5 seasons, you know? Like, okay, sure, let's do that then.
But I love considering considering the average new podcast makes it less than 5 episodes.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty darn all right.
Yeah.
And you two made it almost, it was over 20 before I even joined. Mm-hmm. So y'all are magic.
Well, I guess before we start bringing anybody else on, is anybody in the chat or in Discord, do they have any questions for us specifically or just general questions?
We have 3 questions so far. Okay. The one on Discord, I would like to save for when we bring the new co-hosts on, because
excellent.
The 3 of us have answered that question probably 1,000 times.
So
I'm going to throw it at our new co-host to get their gears greased a little bit on answering questions.
That's good. So it's not just Sarah that's getting a trial by fire.
I mean, you're not off the bus yet. You can still run the other people we're bringing on the show with it. So, you know.
That's true. We are co-driving the bus tonight. So even if we want to run them over, we can.
I mean, just when they think they're stepping on, we shift it forward just a little bit.
Almost on.
I'll just be the crazy one on top, holding on to a rodeo rope, you know, directing the way. So the first one is, to the host, what were your favorite 3 episodes you were part of?
Oh my gosh.
And I will go
first.
That
is so hard.
Yeah, please go first.
It is so hard because we've done so many episodes and there have been so many amazing ones. I cannot remember their name for the life of me, and I was going to scroll through our list, but I totally got sidetracked because, you know, brain. But the first one I will say is the one where I was able to bring on my former yoga teacher, Beth Anderson now, but it was Beth Griggs at the time. And to where I was able to introduce all 3 of my teachers and just listen to you guys talk and how well you got along and all that. It was kind of mind-blowing to me to have all 3 of you in the same space and actually be able to sit and talk with each other. So that's number 1 for me. And then I will have to try and find, there was somebody that we interviewed about, the way they did readings was really interesting. And I know it was a long time ago. And I will say
that's one of those things. I'm like scanning through the list of episodes because we're doing so many. I'm like,
We did. I will say any of the ones that we did, just the 3 of us, I really enjoyed those just because we don't have to get to know each other before we get deep into conversation. You know, we might have a little bit of like wibble wobble to get into the topic, but once we start talking about something, it's all over from there.
That's true. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's so hard. The one that sticks out to me right away is Gaia Sorcery, when we have him on, because that was a fun one, because that was the one we went into like what artificial intelligence and all this other sort of weird stuff, which was a lot of fun.
I'm actually just
so many episodes. It's like, by, I can't even
Dr. Angela Puka.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
that was a good one. Mm-hmm. And the Mongolian one that we did recently about Mongolian shaman. Thank you. That was such a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. It's even hard to scroll through our list. 3. There's so many.
There is.
I actually had to, as you were talking, I was like, I don't know. I got to go look through this.
Yeah. I mean, there's just like.
Or how about the one where we managed to get Rachel True on? Like, you guys,
right?
That was awesome.
That was such a good conversation. She was so wonderful.
Yeah, I would love to have her back on. She was a delight.
It's not the one I was thinking about, but the one with Jack Mercer.
The
Devil, episode 64. That was such a good. That was a good episode. I honestly, they were all really good. The one with aphantasia and spirituality,
was one I was thinking of too, because it was just like, it's so impacted my practice and how I see other people's practices and the ways that I consider it was a very concrete way to remind me every single time to start thinking how these rituals look like from other people's point of view.
Yeah.
And so that was really profound. As I've scrolled through, I know that I liked Sadie when we had her on for Roots of Resistance. We talked about herbalism and its links to slavery and that sort of thing. It was like, that was such a mind-blowing mm-hmm. episode.
That was a good one. I loved when we brought in some of our Discord people, you know, like Cabra and Snow and Shan, and even when we had our moderators on, those were all really good. It's hard, okay? It's a hard question.
I mean, that is like the hardest question, because we've just had
we've had so many. Yeah, I think my top three that I can think of, I'm going to maybe cheat and say top four, was episode 113, which was the one we had with David Shee, mm-hmm. which is about the birthplace of shamanism. Episode 112, which was with priest Olivia, which was about the Kami Bring Us Together episode, which was
episode 112. Yeah.
Those back-to-back were just, for me, some of the most proud I've been in terms of bringing those guests on. And then episode 66, where we first had Rune Hjarne Rasmussen on, I was shocked he responded at all, because he had a and was delighted to have him on. And then episode 60 was the one for Aphantasian Spirituality, if folks are looking mm-hmm. at it. That has also revolutionized how I write, and it's informed the books that I am currently working on.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the chat, the one with the artist of the David Bowie tarot deck, that was really interesting.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was a phenomenal one, yeah.
I love the new question we got in chat.
Okay, so we'll keep going in order, though. What was the next one, Caitlin?
Okay, so the next one was, there's a bowl of fruit in front of you, you're starving, and there's nothing else to eat. Do you grab the banana, the orange, or the apple? And I will tell you my answer, because it's a very practical answer. If you're starving, you need water first, otherwise you're going to get even more hungry and even more dehydrated. So I'm going to go for orange, because I like to survive.
Yeah, I'm apple all the way.
Yeah, your brain starts going, what kind of apple? Smart ass.
Because if it's Granny Smith, I'm not touching that fucking thing. If it's Red Delicious, I'm not fucking touching
Granny
it.
Granny Smith, you take that slander back.
I only in pies. They're only good in pies.
That's fair.
And whoever named Red Delicious is a freaking liar.
Actually, so funny thing about Red Delicious, they actually used to be Red Delicious, but because the strand has changed so much over the years that it has been mm-hmm. grown and spliced and pollinated from other types of apples, it's not as red and delicious as it once was.
Oh, gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah,
it is really fascinating that the apple, different types of apple will cross pollinate so easily. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, we went to a apple cider orchard over in Washtenaw County, and they had a lot of their own trees, and they had one specific strain that they had created themselves, and they have to be so careful, because if the pollen from the wrong type of apple tree gets on there, it ruins the whole strain. It goes off in a whole different direction. So it's pretty crazy.
And like, apples are weirdly delicate, and they're really super hard to grow without letting them go feral and wild as crab apples, you know, because that's kind of where mm-hmm. like most of the genetic basis of all of our spliced apples come from is the crab apple. So they go bananas, really.
Apples go bananas. I like it.
Yeah.
I saw apples what you did go there. Bananas. All right. What's the next question then?
Well, I can ask Kimby's question, but I think Saren 30 answered it. Next year, can we please not do the anniversary party on Cookie Day again? That'll be on you to organize, you know, when Cookie Day and when your last episode is, just so you know. Scrolling through, trying to find. Is there a dead person you wish you could call up on ye old Ouija board and interview? No, because I don't fuck with Ouija boards. I just don't.
That's a tough one.
If I got a guaranteed answer and they couldn't get out of the session by giving me bullshit answers, I would love to pick the brain of Thorgerd Little Vulva, who in the old sources is the vulva that was in Eric Sagarotha.
Okay.
She's one of the people that I would love to pick the brain of, because we don't know the songs anymore. We don't know. We have some ideas, but it was so different from, like, all right, how'd you do this?
Like, if that makes sense.
If I could pin this person down and be like, look, no bullshit. Give me the details.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yours is a very good answer. Mine would be purely selfish. Like, if I was forced to use a Ouija board and I knew that I wouldn't be opening any gateways in my house because I already deal with enough of that bullshit already, I'm not purposefully doing it. I would call my best friend and I would ask her certain questions and tell her I loved her one last time.
Depends on my goal. Terry Pratchett.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, if you hadn't answered Terry, I was going to ask what the fuck is wrong with you.
Oh, yeah. He would have been phenomenal on the show.
And actually, I skipped their first question, which is drunk divination ever coming back? Directed to you, Sarant.
I don't know. That is going to be up to myself and the co-hosts. Remind us and we will work on it and see if we want to do it this season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am not making that decision solo.
That's a fair, that is a fair point. But I will say this, if you do decide to do Drunk Divination, those were some of my most favorite episodes. That is one that you could bring me back on.
I completely misheard that as Junk Divination, and it took
or Junk time. Divination.
My brain did a skip. I thought you said Junk Divination, not Drunk.
I mean, I grew up in a salvage yard, so, you know, I could grab
I'm broken tail lights. Because I heard the same thing, so
I don't think we did an episode on Junk Divination.
I think... Well, I was trying to debate, was it an episode, because that's one of the things Jack Mercer talked about, was doing the junk drawer divination. So I'm like, was that? So I was trying to figure out from context what the answer was.
Yeah. But, okay, oh, thank the gods, I'm not the only one.
Drunk. I'm not drinking tonight. I know.
I'd be down for it.
I know I said I was going to, but I didn't. Okay, again, we got
that's between we, my that's between the co-hosts and I.
Sarah and I were thinking about our junk. That's all.
That's fine. I mean, if you want to toss your twigs and berries around too, that's cool. Who am I to judge?
AGF, the OnlyFans.
I'm glad I'm leaving now. In fact, I might leave a little bit early. Hey, good luck, guys. Okay, I like this one because it's along the same vein as a question that we've gotten in the past. But now that you and I have kind of come to an end, maybe the answer has changed since then. Mm-hmm. What seemingly accidental, incidental, or silly lesson or revelation you learned during your time with AGF has had the most impact on your spiritual path? So what is the most accidental thing that happened to you while on the show that impacted your spirituality?
They
are hard, but they're fun little brain noodles, because I love fun little brain noodles. Mine is, I always knew that the power of laughter and being around like-minded people or being around family, you know, that's not blood family, but is still family in your heart, is one of the most powerful things in a practice. And I didn't realize it. Like, I did. I knew it was there. I knew there was a point to it, but it wasn't until I would say probably 20 or so episodes into doing the show that I realized at the time how much I needed them, because you guys made me laugh. It felt nice to come stand by the fire with you guys because it felt like coming home. It reminded me that I needed those connections. You know, I can't do it on my own. So for me, the accidental thing was just showing up to the episodes and bringing my whole self and sitting down and being silly and kind of goofy or whatever and expressing myself. And that's what I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They're not really funny for me, because like when I'm thinking about it, it's just like so many of our guests just came out of nowhere. I'm just reading along and it's like, oh, there's a name. Oh, look, there's a website. Oh, look, there's a place to click a button to invite. It's just like, or, you know, hearing terms that I hadn't heard before. And I say, okay, what guests, I'm not familiar with that. How can we find a guest that's familiar in that area? So like a lot of that incidental stuff was really amazing. It was just like, you know, there was definitely a flow. It felt like, you know, that, It was mimicking intellectual growth from curiosity, because it's just like curious about, oh, well, that's a term. What's the next guest going to say? There's one. And what's the next guest going to say? So it's like it was that learning process that I think overall had the most effect on me. That makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of the show has been like slowly how we add logs to the fire in an actual sacred fire, like in a physical one, I mean. For me, the thing that really kind of caught me by surprise was realizing that there is a living spirit at the center of the show that we all helped bring into being. And I mean, not just the three hosts, I also mean this community. 'Cause those of you who tend the fire of the Discord, whether you're mods, whether you're members of the Discord, everybody has a hand in making sure the fire stays fed, in making sure that the fire is comfy, and making sure that the people around the fire are taken care of. Like, it is, for me, the show itself has brought a lot of lessons, a lot of similar lessons to what Jim and Storm have, but the Discord and the spirit of around Grandfather Fire growing and developing the way it has unto itself has been the lesson from that I think I've taken the most from.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The community is just amazing. And I very much appreciate all of everybody that either been a guest on the show or in our fantastic Discord there for being such caring, thoughtful and generous community members, not only to us, but to each other. The breadth of knowledge, as I always say, comes across in our Discord. You know, I've talked about that many times, how we have such amazing people in the Discord that know so much. But I think what I haven't spoken on before is how just kind you are to each other. And even when there's an occasional, you know, a little bit of fur that gets ruffled, everybody is quick to learn and say, what can I take away from this? How can I grow from it? And, you know, once again, exploring, you know, different books or modalities or even just concepts. Everybody is just so incredibly kind. So I think that's definitely going to come with me. That's definitely something I'll be taking forward, because I'll be around. And but also just like knowing that there's people that you can ask and they're gonna, what a dumbass, how could they not know about the seventh sphere of the archangels in the, and it's like, no, that's not me, I don't know that. But everybody's just so kind and teaching and sharing.
I do 100% have to agree with, I don't even understand how it happened, but I am so grateful that it did, that we managed to build not even on our own, really. You know, a lot of the people that are on our Discord is because somebody found our podcast and then ran to their friend and was like, you have to check this thing out. And then they were like, they also have a Discord. We should join. And then they also brought in their friends and so on and so forth. And we've managed to create such a menagerie of knowledges and strengths and even weaknesses, you know, and that's not something to be upset about, because weaknesses means there's room to grow and to be humble and to be grateful for the people within the community who may know more. And the way all of our community members approach each other with gentle kindness when a question is asked, you know, not attacking them and saying, well, how could you not know about this thing? Instead, they're like, hang on, let me grab some resources for you. Or they'll be like, let me tag this person, because while I don't know, I know they probably do.
Yep.
You know, and that is phenomenal to me. Like, I know we started the ball rolling, but it was you guys, our community, that, you know, shoved it down the mountain and turned the snowball into a freaking boulder. And that's amazing. And I love it. And it's cool. It's a boulder of kindness. Crush them with kindness. So for the next question, the first half is kind of similar to the one I just asked. So we'll just go for the second half. But it's mostly, I think, for you and me, Jim, but Saren, you're welcome to answer as well. What's something you've learned from the AGF community that you'll keep with you as you leave the show? And the first half, if you're curious, what's something you've learned from doing AGF that you'll take with you as you leave? We kind of covered that a lot. I will say the confidence that I have that has like rooted itself in me is that's not leaving. I'm not uprooting that bitch because she's scary. I don't want to mess with her. But what's something you've learned from the AGF community you'll keep with you as you leave the show? You know, I have no intentions of leaving the Discord by any means. So y'all are still stuck with me. Sorry. But it's just the resounding, and this might be a little extreme to say it this way, but the resounding call to arms that our community seems to have. You know, like if somebody posts something about having a bad day, people will jump in and be like, all right, talk it out. Or do you want a vent? Do you want to do this or whatever? And, you know, it's like a get shit done community in a very gentle way, I guess. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's awesome. That's what I'll take. Like, you guys are our legacy, really. Like, this show could go up in flames, you know, who knows? Or it could go down in flames. The whole thing could just randomly disappear someday. But I think you guys will still keep going because you are that amazing. And I'm so glad you guys are here.
Yeah, I'm kind of there too. I think if I want to choose, because I kind of had already covered that a little bit, so I'm going to give a second answer, I guess, kind of. But the community has taught me a lot about understanding diversity, right? You know, I try to be open-minded, and I'm always trying to learn, but sometimes you still mess it up. And sometimes it's one thing to academically or know about someone or a particular group, and it's another to actually be able to have the extended conversations, or when I say something to, you know, get a response back, but have you looked at it from this way or that way? So that's definitely something I'm taking with, is it expanded even more my appreciation for the diversity of voices and how much you can learn just by listening to other people.
Yeah, I think that I like that last part that you said, is just making sure you're listening to other people and what they say, because everybody has their own well of knowledge that, and especially within our community, and I can't really speak for other communities because, let's face it, I'm an introvert, but y'all... y'all found me and kept me, so I'm staying.
We are the extroverts that kidnapped the introvert.
Basically. Yeah, and then you got to know me, and I'm like, friends, yay! You get to see how weird I am.
Excellent. Speaking of, shall we bring on our new co-host?
Well, we got one more question.
Oh, we got one more question. This one I really like. And I think it's something that we have answered in the past, but perhaps our answers have changed since then. For Storm and Jim, you've both been through a lot of shifts in your practice, in your worldview, and spirituality. Any parting thoughts about how to manage the times in your life when your beliefs shift? For me, it's something that can cause some anxiety of what if in the future I don't feel the same way about this that I do now?
Mm-hmm.
So my answer is very simple, and it is one of the hardest things to do, which is a little contradictory, I'm sorry. But it's to find your own way in how to handle these shifts with an act of grace. It's about honoring the path that brought you to where you are, and also looking forward to the path that's ahead. It's okay to grieve what is being set down, because you're not losing it. It's not going away permanently or forever. You will keep the pieces that are important and that you need for the time, and you may drop those along the way as well. But finding that bit of comfort within the grace of letting the path flow where it needs to take you makes it a little bit easier to handle. At least it does for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've obviously gone through a couple changes, yeah, just since the span that I've been on the show here. And I guess, you know, my pattern is usually the same. It's the first beginnings of recognition, and it's the resistance. Then it's the resolve that something's got to change, and then the anxiety about actually doing it. That's about my pattern. But I, you know, if I could put on my old man hat for a minute, I want you to remember, everybody, all of us to remember, that as bad as it can be sometimes, every single good thing in your life had anxiety first. There's nothing good in your life that you weren't anxious about before it happened or before you did it. There's nothing good in your life that there wasn't anxiety about how your perceptions would change or how other people's perceptions of you would change. There's nothing good in your life that has happened without that anxiety. So as much as the anxiety sucks, and I know it does, that, I hope, gives you one little seed in the storm cloud, allows you to be grateful for that anxiety, because it's preceded everything good.
And you've survived every ounce of anxiety that you've experienced at this point. So, yep. You know you're going to make it through. That's all I tell myself, yep, when I experience worry or overthinking or anxiety. I'm like, I've made it through this far, I can keep going, right? All right, speed round, because this is a really easy one. You get one superpower, but it's your second favorite. What is it? For me, it's telekinesis, because my first one is the law of probability. If I can control probability, I can literally do anything. Second favorite, telekinesis.
Flight. Taryn? It's my first favorite. My first favorite is teleportation, because I want to see the world, but I want to be also want to be home every night.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. It's like, I want to see the Gaza Strip, but I also want to sleep in my own bed. So
My first superpower is, of course, surprising nobody, shapeshifting. I think my backup has consistently been flying. So that would be really cool. Because as terrifying as it was getting in that plane, I could see enjoying that. especially if I get to control the ascent and descent.
All right, so, we want to head on to the next segment then?
Yeah, I think, Sarenth, you should introduce your co-hosts.
All right.
And reintroduce Maud, I think, too.
Yes.
Do we have... We've only got one, right, because of baking day. So
our two mods are, of course, Kim and Jason. And welcoming to Around Grandfather Fire for the first time as co-hosts, Emily Streaking Fate, Cabra, and Snow. Welcome to Around Grandfather Fire, and thank you for being here.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Hi. Hello. Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, you got this, guys. You got this, everyone. You can do this.
Yeah. So welcome, everybody. How you feel about tending the sacred fire?
It looks like Cabra is trying to talk and not being the...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, definitely not getting microphone there, Cabra. I don't know why.
Cabra's having tech issues already.
That's definitely a sign of a co-host.
It's going well.
All right, does the native mic work?
The native mic works, yes. Yay!
All right. Okay, USB mic, here I come. But it's an honor. I'm excited, nervous, already thinking about 5,000 people that I want to email to be like, will you come on my podcast? Do it. Yes.
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, this is an advantage. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, because like all those people you're interested in, if you say, I have a podcast, that's one thing. But when you say, yeah, we've got a podcast, we've been around for 5 years and we've had so many guests and episodes, technically you're still the host of that podcast. So that gives you extra leverage for getting your guests on.
Twist as many arms as you have to.
That's right.
So what, really, what Jim is saying is whoever you get, Jim gets the credit.
So I misspoke.
I'm just leaving as a co-host, though. No, I'm not dead.
Wait a second. Earlier.
How did Snow get in charge of the bus? I'm
confused. Right? So I misspoke earlier. I said Kim. I meant Black Cat because my brain BSOD'd on me. And Black Cat and Jason are our co-hosts.
Hi, Mods.
No.
I'm
Mods. Damn.
Black Cat and Jason are mods. Black Cat is currently cooking cookies, baking cookies. There we go. Mm-hmm. Tara, get it. Stop.
What is going on?
We don't know.
I would like to have our new co-host one by one, maybe starting with Emily Streaking Fate, if they are up to it, to do a little introduction of themselves, their path. And kind of how they got here a little bit so that you guys don't have to waffle through that so much in your first episode together, or maybe expand upon it more. Yeah, so just tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll start with Emily.
Okay. I am Emily Streaking Fate. I've been on the pagan polytheist path for about 11 or 12 years now. My practice, I consider myself multi-traditional. I'm a member of Kemetic Orthodoxy, and I'm a Sao mentee. I am working on Sather, and that is my main focus right now. So the heathen part of my practice is very big. No surprise, I am a partner of Sarenth. So the heathen gods are like, hey, we're going to be louder now. I am in a god-spouse relationship, which is outside of those things, and I only mention that because that does significantly affect my life on the day-to-day. I am a member of Pack Tradition alongside Caitlin and others, and that was started by Malik. And so the primal side of things is very important. On the day-to-day, I do a lot with the Landvatir and the Husvatir and just the spirits around the house. It's a big part of my practice. Just the day-to-day, the offerings, the talking, ancestors. Ancestors are a very loud part of my practice. I came to AGF when I was checking out podcasts long ago, and I happened upon the Discord server, and Jim gave me some great mentoring advice and helped me to see how much I was actually doing on the day-to-day. Caitlin, my connection with you has become very, very important to me, particularly since moving here. It's been incredible on so many levels. And Sarah, a lot of people had to vouch for you before I would connect with you for spirit work and such, because I was like, I don't know, we'll see. But then I worked with you on a few different things outside of AGF, and then I met you in person, and we went from occasional working partners to deeply connected, I would say, soul partners in the,
mm-hmm.
So we do a decent amount of spirit work together. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Sam?
No, just mumming and aha, yes.
Okay, sorry.
He is well trained.
Yay! Someone's gonna give Sarah shit. I'm so excited.
I appreciate Silverleaf so much because yes, she has done a lot of on the ground work. But yeah, I'm super excited. I have fed Sarah a list of people that I would like to bring on for potential interviews, both before I elected and now as a co-host. I'm super excited to see who Snow and Cabra bring and just the conversations. I am really glad that Jim and Storm got Sarenth to have other people as co-hosts. I was real, real nervous when he wanted to do it all on his own, because I knew no on the why. Backside.
No, that would mean a lot.
Sarenth, you know that you're in trouble when that comment's coming from them. Because anybody who is not familiar with Emily's spiritual life, take all the crap that Sarenth does and double it for some unknown reason.
Yeah, it really doesn't fucking make any sense at all. But honestly, truth be told, when given the nudge of like, hey, maybe bring on new co-hosts, Sarenth actually took it very gracefully and clung to it like a fucking life raft in the ocean. So it really wasn't that hard to convince him to bring in other people. I think it was just the little nudge they needed to find that space and make it comfortable.
I think the fact that the nudge came from the two of you helped immensely.
Well, if ever needed.
I might take you up on that in the future, Storm.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm very, very excited to have these discussions going forward. I have provided a lot of side commentary in the chat in past recordings. So it will be fun to say some of these remarks out loud.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're very glad that you were willing to take over for us, you know, in whatever capacity that you're able to in the future. And honestly, I couldn't think of any other people than the three of you who I would trust to take at least my spot. I don't want to speak for Jim, but I'm sure he probably agrees as well. And I'm just so glad that you all said yes, because I, like I said earlier, I'm so excited to see where all of you take this, because we've brought it this far and our portion of the marathon is done, but now it's your guys' turn and it's going to be something great. And I know it. But let's move on to Snow. And I know we've had you on the show before, but go ahead and give our listeners, maybe we have some new ones, they haven't caught that episode yet, tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your relationship with the show, how you found us, whatever you want to say, really. It's all yours. This is your turn to talk.
My turn. Hello, I'm Snow. Okay. So I found AGF via Sarenth, however many years ago now, through kind of online heathen spaces. I've been involved with that to varying degrees for years and years, sort of increasingly online and sort of deepening my knowledge and my practice. These days, kind of taking that and looking at weird and wonderful things like astrology and ancient Hermeticism and all kinds of crazy, wacky stuff that I'm sort of throwing into the mix because apparently I can't do anything the easy way, which gives me qualified experience to mock Sarenth because he also doesn't do things the easy way. And the second that I'd finished listening to the episode where Sarenth went, I might try doing it myself, I started yelling at him in his messages.
Yes, yes, you did.
Yes.
Thank you.
I got up this morning knowing we were going to do this and just sent a big paragraph to Sarenth like, here are all the things that Jim and Storm and you do to keep this show running and afloat. You're going to do all of that on top of another podcast, your day job, your parenting. Like, what? No, no.
See, when you put it that way, that sounds stupid.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm just glad that I'm handing my role to like an equally powerful Storm, just an ice cold one that will just lay waste and ruin behind them as they go. And it's amazing. I'm so excited.
See, someone needs to be here with a meteorological name.
That's right. It wouldn't make sense if there wasn't.
Right?
Especially because snow and rain seem to really accompany some of the sacred fire.
Oh, man, it does.
Like nature goes, oh, you want to have a fire?
Good luck now, bitches.
Cabra, why don't you give us a hello. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, my name's Cabra. My pronoun is they. I've been on the show before, but for people who don't want to listen to that episode or haven't gotten to it yet, I am a grimoire practitioner mostly, and everything else that I do kind of circles that central interest of wanting to get back to pre-industrial or early modern practices of France and Spain and Portugal, and trying to really ask the question about like what was lost and how can we get it back without painting some kind of like idealistic picture of what was actually going on. And so in order to do that, I have to do some folk Catholic practices. You know, I have to observe saints days. I have to get comfortable with the Psalms. I also need to do some astrology because astrological talismans are in there. And I have to do some mysticism because there's a little bit of unitive consciousness that comes up with it. I was really lucky that when I found my path or when I really started looking for it in the world, I had like a really solid foundation to build off of, which is reclaiming witchcraft. I'm still a member of the reclaiming community. I am also a member of the local, OTO body, Golden Thread in Pittsburgh. I found a lot of camaraderie there that has made that has lended itself to the grimoires in a way that is a little bit more subtle, weirdly enough. I found AGF because a couple of jobs ago, I needed something to listen to at work. And so I went through this period of just digesting every single podcast I could find on like the Stitcher app, right? And I really, really liked the energy of it, of like, and the worldview that was shared between all the co-hosts of this idea of slowing down, because that's one thing that like reclaiming taught me is the people who are really doing it are constantly going to remind you to slow down and like do the very boring looking thing with like depth and repetition instead of trying to constantly chase the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And it was actually everybody's willingness to learn. Once I got on the Discord and I started having these things of like, I don't know about this point, guys. And like, when I saw people actually listening and taking in what I was saying and being willing to learn and being willing to consider, I think that's when I got hooked, and I just, like, I never left, right? Like, I hardly have any time to listen to podcasts anymore, but I'm still making time to get caught up on Around Grandfather Fire, because it's a community that you can grow with. And, like, I just to reiterate what people have said, like, people are so kind. I feel like I have my own personal hype squad every single time I sit there, and I'm like, I don't need to get a book published. I just remember every single blog post I've written and the YouTube videos I've made and how fun that was, and how if no one else reads it, someone from Around Grandfather Fire will read it. And I wound up being like a way to wake up and be like, all right, rough draft number 583, here we go. But yeah, I think that's all the stuff that people asked me.
So for those who don't know, it is episode 102, Gothic Heathenry, where we had Snow on, and episode 91, where Reclaiming Thelema and Folk Christianity, where we had Cabra on. So if you're looking for those specific episodes, it's 102 and 91.
So long ago. Oh my God.
Right.
I know.
Yeah. Somehow that's going to turn into some kind of numerological competition between Cabra and I.
I mean, considering these were both last year, it feels it relatively recent in time, but far enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, like I said, when I was looking through those show titles, like, they keep scrolling. What's going on? So, but I'm really excited. Like I said, I was, you know, emphasizing the diversity and just having all of you on together with, you know, Ceremonial and Grimoire and the Christianity, the astrology, the whole shamanic approach. It's going to be a brand new dynamic. And I'm really, really excited about that because, you know, for me personally, sometimes my limitation is obviously nobody knows everything, right? So we have guests on, and you guys were amongst the group that would always help me understand this is where that author should be challenged on, or this is where that guest might have had a little different point of view. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So that's nice. I'm looking forward to having such cultic, if nothing else, diversity that is going to bring out some really good questions for any future guests.
Mm-hmm. So if I could, I would like to take a moment and maybe be a little sappy, because I do that sometimes. And I would like to offer the three of you some advice. It's very simple advice, and I think it's one all four of you will be able to do without question. And that is to trust one another. Trust that if you have to take a moment to think about an answer to something a guest has said, know that one of the others will pick up the space for you and bring an answer of their own. Trust that when you have something to say, the others will give pause and notice that you have something to say, and they will allow you the space to speak. Don't be afraid to use your voice. And if you find that one of your co-hosts has been quiet for too long, give them a little nudge and say, hey, feel free to jump in whenever you're ready. You guys are going to do great. And I'm really excited for what's going to come. But before we move on to our two questions right now, maybe there will be more, I want to know if the three of you have any questions for the three of us on going forward. Anything that you're worried about, anything that you're excited about, anything at all. And if not, then we can move on as well.
I kind of do, actually, because one of the things that I really like about this show is that it has like a really wide range of topics, and they all kind of seem to have a central-ish nebula that they run around. So I don't want to ask what kind of guests do you want on the show, because the point of Around Grandfather Fire is to be like a little, like, leave some room for chaos, just a little. I guess the question that I have is, what kind of show is around Grandfather Fire, not right. Like, if there's anything we're actively trying to avoid, aside from, you know, Fash, obviously, what would you say are things that, even if they're not necessarily bad, do not go in this podcast?
I will say that our show is a place where beliefs can be challenged, but I don't think they should be aggressively shut down unless, of course, they are Fash or aggressively hard leaning into certain areas that would be damaging to your listeners, because they're yours now and you have to take them into consideration. And there might be another episode that comes down the pipe that only gets released to Patreon because it was that much of a dumpster fire. However, remember, we're not here to cut down your guests, because that's a different kind of show. I think one of the allures to our podcast is the fact that it is an open floor conversation, and the conversation goes where it's going to go. And there's kind of that understanding between co-host and guest that you're kind of getting to know each other, but on a very spiritual level. So if something rubs you the wrong way and maybe piques that force of anger in you or frustration or something, come at it as a misunderstanding and ask them to clarify before you burn that shit down. Because I fully expect you to burn that shit down if they're assholes or they suck or they're whatever, you know? But come at it from a misunderstanding first and then jump down their throat, because I want to hear those episodes too.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I would say, kind of along those same lines, I would say Around Grandfather Fire is not a gotcha program. There are a lot of programs, and, you know, it's easy to think of the ones about politics, but it covers the whole spectrum. There's podcasts out there about metaphysical topics the same way. They're going to, you know, get a guest on and really slam them for the sake of the controversy. And that's definitely not the type of show we are. And I think you all know that. That's why you're here. But it's like, there's always going to be mistakes. There's always going to be a chance at misunderstandings. But Ground Grandfather Fire is just not a gotcha type show. I mean, I don't know any other way to express it than that. And along the same lines, I'm going to agree with Caitlin too. One of the hardest parts, and Sarah and I first struggled with it, and then when Caitlin came aboard, we had to refigure it out, because watching each other's facial expressions, making sure the questions aren't too long, making sure all three of us have a space to speak. It's along with whatever guests you have, just, you know, don't be afraid to speak, because you might accidentally speak at the same time as somebody else. But then, as always, it's reciprocity. It's how do you pass it around? Oh, Sarah, you go first this time. Or sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Caitlin, that sort of thing. Don't be afraid, because your voices, and that was, I think, Caitlin, you expressed the hardest thing for you to realize, is people want to hear your voice without even have done, you know, other than being guests, you know, you haven't hosted an episode yet, but already there's a craving out there for your voices and what you bring. So don't be afraid to speak.
And y'all are already loved in the community anyway. So you kind of,
right?
You kind of already in the door. So do either Emily or Snow, do you guys have any questions for us? Or
actually, one, do you want me to answer that?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sarah. Please, please answer. Mistakes.
The thing is, I mean, it's okay. It happens. And the number one thing that I want my co-hosts that are coming in to realize is that this is not my fucking show. This is not mine. And truth be told, it's not even really ours. This is a fire we're nurturing together. But this is really not my show. You know, you are co-equal co-hosts around this fire. And I not only want you to feel comfortable speaking, I want you to feel comfortable not speaking. I want you to feel comfortable speaking your truth or if the truth is coming out in a way that you don't feel is productive to the conversation, that's fine. I want you to feel safe enough to have the conversation when you feel safe to have that conversation. So, I may be coming from the old crew of this show, but this is not my show. And I really want each and every one of you to be forward facing. I want each and every one of you to feel safe to speak your piece, speak your from your experiences, and speak unabashedly. Because this is not my fire, this is our fire.
All right, what do we want to move on to next? We had the one question left that was best for everybody, you thought?
Well, we have one that's a repeat from us that I think would be good to kind of break the ice for them. It's a little silly. You get one superpower, but it's your second favorite. What is it?
Maybe super speed. Because my favorite was always teleportation, because I really like Nightcrawler from the X-Men comics.
Right?
So mm-hmm. I think second would probably be super speed, because I always remember that frame of, was it Superman, Shazam, and the Flash having a race? Just the idea of being in that kind of a scenario. That's my answer.
I think teleportation would probably be my first, but communication, being able to understand or speak, or understand, speak, read any language, be able to communicate with anybody.
That's a good one.
I would probably wind up with some kind of like shield power, because my number one is always fireball, right? Like, why would you pick anything else? Fireball, right? I mean, obviously, I know logically why you would pick other powers, but in my heart, fireball. But my second favorite one has always been like being able to make some sort of clear, glowy energy shield guy. Like if anyone's familiar with the Steven Universe show, the bubble power that Steven has,
oh yeah,
that would be my second favorite. So I would just sit there, probably flinging them across the room at people.
It's like blowing bubbles at people, but with damage attached.
It's funny, Snow, you say super speed, because I always took it too far in my imagination, because I would think about the days I sit around like work and that last hour takes forever. And I thought, fuck, if I had super speed, every day would be like that. Always. Like, fucking hell, it seems like I've been waiting forever for this bullet to go past. What the goddamn?
Right. Like that scene with Quicksilver running around the walls of that kitchen in that X-Men film.
That's right.
Yes. Readjusting everything. It's like, oh, it's taking so long. I can have a meal and listen to music. And yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you think a pot of water takes a long time to boil at normal speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, super speed is very, very deadly to me because I'm a relatively clumsy person. So if you make me go really fast, I will get very hurt very quickly. So that's no, I'm good. I'll just stay at my regular old dumb pace.
I was just amused at the fact that Cabra gave the most Thelemite answer possible with just, I want fire and I want glowy magic. Nothing says Thelema like that.
Listen, it says inflame thyself in prayer. The prayer part sounds very optional to me.
I mean, prayer is last in that whole saying. So, I mean, flame is obviously first, and fireball is a to whom it may concern.
Hey, and I'm totally with you on super speed. I love the Flash, but I have run into walls on foot. So if I had super speed,
yes, every bone and body broken.
I broke my arm running into a brick building on foot. So trying to save a pizza.
They are talented.
There was a reason it did not work, but yeah.
Wile E. Coyote syndrome.
Sadly did not save the pizza.
Nor their arm, apparently.
Yeah, right.
See, I have this wonderful superpower where if I slip or anything, but I'm holding coffee, the coffee will never spill.
That's amazing.
I can fall and like all the stuff in my backpack will get crushed and I'll be like grazed and bruised and everything, but my coffee will be brilliant.
As the coffee gods have blessed you with that gift. They're
priorities.
Like, no. Snow needs their coffee to survive.
The fate of the universe depends on it.
Right.
Yes. It's like, yeah. I will dive under this car to save the coffee cup.
My
weird superpower is no matter how many times I have dropped kitchen knives, I have always moved my foot out of the way at the last moment. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like the same part of my brain that makes sure I don't like drive my car onto the wrong side of the road is also in charge of not dropping knives on my foot. But like, I've dropped plenty of other things on my feet, but never knives.
I never noticed that about myself, but yes, it's like that feral instinct within yourself that is like, this is a very dangerous thing falling towards my foot. I don't want it to like pin me to the floor kind of thing. So you automatic reaction to move it out of the way, but it's like, no, this very heavy coffee cup that I'm dropping that is empty will obviously hurt, but I'm not going to move my foot because common sense, I don't know. My weird superpower is very particular. I will catch anything I drop as long as I am not looking at it and I do not think about catching it. So yeah. If I drop it and I just react and catch it, I'll catch it every single time, no problem. But if I go to grab it while thinking about it, I will literally spike it to the floor every time. And that's why my phone screen is as cracked as it is, because that's happened more than once.
I like this. Another dish.
Basically.
Yeah, I definitely had to get the super indestructible phone case myself, so.
I think dropping knives in kitchens is one of those things where what I say and what I do don't align, because I was always told in food tech class in school, if you drop a knife, you stay perfectly still, because the chances are it will miss you, and if you try and move out the way, you're increasing your chances of like aligning with how it's falling. And so I've always said that to like the kid here. I'm like, if you're going to drop the knife, just freeze. It'll fall where it falls. But whenever I drop a knife, I'm like, I'm jumping back.
I'm not trusting the universe with this one.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing that I, and this is a weird tangent, but that made me think of learning how to run heavy machinery at the salvage yard. Because if you are carrying something and that something starts falling off, your first instinct is to run away from the machinery, to get off of the machinery and run, but you're actually supposed to stay in your seat because there are these heavy steel roll cages over top of your head that are designed to literally keep you alive if something falls on your head. So that was a weird thing I had to train in my brain. And then I yelled at my boss at the greenhouse when I saw him bolt out from his fork truck when something came crashing down on top of him, and I was like, what are you doing? Because my dad was yelling in my head, so I was yelling at my boss.
Nice.
Yeah.
The number of word scenarios where your brain tells you to do something, it's actually the opposite of what would be helpful in that scenario.
Yes. It's that saying where it's you know more than your panic.
Mm.
So you kind of have to step out of that panic brain, which is telling you to flee or do all these ridiculous things. And you're like, no, I'm smarter than this. Hang on.
It's like anyone who's ever done like a self-defense class or a martial arts class or something that's involved rolling or break falls or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like the voice in the back of your head is going, put your hands out. Don't do that. You'll shatter your wrists.
Yes. Tuck.
Yep.
Bring them in close to body.
Your brain is lying to you. Ignore your brain.
This is why you do falls every day. Every time you come to judo and jujitsu, you have to do at least 10 to 20 minutes of falls.
Practice falls have literally saved my life, right? So I was taught you start to fall on purpose and fall onto like the safest surface. So I'm sitting there in the wine warehouse job carrying like 12 bottles of something or other at the top of the stairs. And I lose my footing. And if it had not been for my training, I would have careened down the stairwell, which was half narrow stairs and half like a little track thingy mabobber you could put the boxes on to bring them up the stairs, I would have definitely busted my head open on this thing. Instead, I went backwards and landed on my behind, which is padded. So, like, those practice fall things, even if you don't, like, think of it from a self-defense, like, whatever, it's still like, why is that not part of gym class?
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, that kind of lesson really is beneficial to magic and spirituality. If you're going to fall, make sure that you intentionally fall and you have spaces where you can fall safely. This is why we have community, incidentally.
And you practice in a safe environment with someone there who can tell you when you're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. So then when you're in the kind of real world scenario, you've practiced it enough times that it, you know, it all kicks in.
So since we gave you kind of an easy question to begin with, unless Jim, you had something to add.
I was going to say, I feel like my school did have practice falling, but it wasn't like, I'm Gen X, but our parents didn't care. It was climb the rope up to the roof of the ceiling of the gymnasium. Okay, now come back down and don't kill yourself in the way. It's like,
yeah, I grew up with two older brothers and in the 90s. And it was really just the three of us. And then they got older and I tried to keep up, but then they just pushed me down a lot. So I learned how to land really quickly. And I learned that you can actually direct your body to whatever surface you're looking at. So if you think you're going to fall down the stairs, look at the platform and you'll fall there instead. So it's worked like 90% of the time.
Yeah, I've been in lots of kind of pub conversations and evening conversations where people start talking about how rolls and breakfalls should just become part of the school curriculum, because it's like, you're going to need that more in life than like how to throw a punch or whatever. Like when you're, you know, having difficulty walking or, you know, tripping up the curb with your shopping, getting out your taxi or whatever. Like, right. If you can roll properly, you're fine. Like that's going to help.
Or hey, let's get rid of all the sports game nonsense in gym class and actually teach like mobility exercise, like how not to roll your ankle and strengthen your hips so that you don't have back problems for the rest of your life. You know, like let's teach our kids something practical instead of line dancing because that's useful.
I mean,
see, growing up here, line dancing wasn't what I thought it was from the name. I thought that was what they called it when the police ask you to walk in a straight line down the curb.
Depending on how drunk you are, that is actually a dance.
Yeah. Speaking of hard things that many of us had to do from which we learned valuable lessons, Storm, weren't you going to subject the new host to some kind of ridiculously difficult question?
See, you're already good at this. And it's not a difficult question. It's probably one all of you have answered at some point within your practice. And I know for sure that the three of us have answered it, but because we are looking for new perspectives, because you guys are the ones taking over, y'all get the difficult one this time. Though we had a few doozies. I'll give you that much. We paid our penance. So this comes from one of our Discord people. God, I'm sorry. My brain just like short-circuited there for a second. And I do believe they're here listening with us right now. So I kind of shortened it a little bit for you. Every so often, over the years, I'll come to realize that I have stopped doing anything I had put into place for my worship. Sometimes it's due to life. Sometimes I chalk it up to the whole balance theme that's ever so present within my life. And sometimes it happens without me realizing. I'm looking for some tips and guidance on not only how to pick back up my spirituality and worship, but also how to make some things habitual. As an aside or an addition to this, do you have any tips or ideas for someone practicing in a space not their own would be helpful?
So I have actually answered this question a lot over the years, because I love talking to newbies. It's my favorite thing. If you have gone for a while without doing your daily practices or your semi-regular practices, it is likely that you did not set yourself up for success. And the way that I set myself up for success and what I have seen work for pretty much everyone else that has a consistent daily practice, even through really hard periods of life, is that you do not add a daily practice onto your life. You ask yourself the question, what thing do I do even on the days where I am not able to get out of my pajamas? And that is the thing that you turn into a devotional act. And for me, that is the first cup of coffee every morning. The first cup goes to the ancestors, unless I am angry with them for some reason. And then I'm like, no, you're not getting it today, and here's why. But like, that doesn't mean that like I didn't have a check-in with them. I did, because I poured the first cup of coffee. And so that's what I will say is like, mistakes are data. If you can even call not doing that a mistake, I mean, like a gap. The gap is data. And so what I would do is I would look at that period of your life that was really hard and be like, am I a person who can reliably shower even if I can't get my, even if I can't leave the house? Am I a person who gets in my car once a day, every day, no matter what? Am I a person who has to have that morning cup of coffee? And what I would say is like, make the thing that you already do every day, no matter what, the devotional act. And for me, it's about inviting the spirits that you're trying to connect with into your worst days. Because no matter how bad the day is, if I'm doubled over in pain, if I'm going to be in my pajamas that I've been wearing for 3 days straight, because we all have that week, I can still turn to my grandma and be like, vovó, ten café. Eu vou voltar pra cama. Grandma, here's coffee. I'm going back to bed now. You know, like it's a bad day, but like, here's the coffee. So that's my personal soapbox on that one.
And it's a good ass soapbox. I will 100% agree with you.
Emily, you want to go?
Sure, unless you're bursting.
By all means.
Thank you. 100% agree with Cabra. I would say when I am trying to get back on the horse, so to speak, I look at what acts of self-care I can also use as devotional acts. Now, in Kemeticism, it's traditional to make the offering to the gods and then consume it. And since eating is something that I'm going to do unless I'm super sick, offering that meal, I might not say any prayer. I might just say, I offer this to you, and then consume the food. I look for little bits where I might have spare time, right? Driving in the car. I have used a lot of that time, to talk to my ancestors. If it's a back and forth to work for me, particular road trips, which I know is not like a common thing. Most people are not going to take a bunch of road trips, but long road trips, I usually dedicate some of that time as conversational time with my ancestors and just chit-chatting, letting them know how things are going and to catch up. I will also say that if all of my practices have kind of sloughed off, I look and see what excites me. Am I looking to explore something new? Is there a different way I can connect with the spirits that I'm interested in? Or that I already have a solid connection with? Or am I looking to expand my practice in a completely new direction or a new path? And so I would say for me, I get really inspired by just the act of learning, Googling, listening to what other people have to say about their practices and see what spikes my interest. And then maybe setting myself the goal of doing one new thing for a week and see how I like it. See if it's fun and see if it's exciting. And if it's not, that's totally cool. It's only, you know, and even if I just do it 2 days out of the week, did I enjoy it? Okay. Then I might still put it on the calendar and see what I can do with it. Or see if there's a way I can make it so that it's easier and more and smoother. As far as habits, if you have habits that are already in place that you can attach it to, like offering your food because you're going to eat, that's awesome. But for me, a lot of times habits shift. And so I would just say don't try to force things. If it doesn't work right now, then maybe it doesn't work for a reason. And allow yourself to have the rest that you need. If everything is turned off, then for me, it's usually I don't have the energy and I need self-care and my spirits want me to have self-care. Or I don't have the interest, which means let's go searching and see what other people are doing and see what spikes my interest. Or I don't have the support. And so let's look to my friends or to other people in my community and see if maybe I want to do some things, but they can help me do them, whether it's just through accountability or whether it's through meeting up once a month or whether it's through a Zoom online. So that's my 2 cents. Go ahead. No.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're trying to get back into things, I think little and often, and I think often is very individual and very variable. I think if what you want to focus on there is what's sustainable. So if a cup of water every day or some prayers before your meal every day is doable, then do that. If what feels more sustainable is ritual once a week, then do that. Or if your practice says it only makes sense to do something for holidays or full moons or new moons or something like that, then do that. It's that sustainability. Because, I mean, there's the psychological impact of routines. Some part of everyone's brain likes routines to some degree, but you can go overboard with that. So if you don't try something enough, it never feels like it's normal. But if you stick to it too much, it becomes rigid, and then you're doing it because it feels obligatory rather than because you want to. I think we need to work as a community broadly on being okay with having those fallow periods and saying, I'm not feeling up to this right now, so I'm going to give it a miss and wait until I'm better, the house is in a, you know, whatever it might be that's causing the problems there. Because, you know, you can't give 100% all the time. That's impossible for anyone in anything. Otherwise, just kind of echoing what Emily and Cabra said.
Well, I think the show is in really good hands, you guys.
I want three of us to throw our answers in. Two.
Okay, go for it. You first, Jim.
Yeah,
beep, right. Beep. No problem. I'm agreeing so much with what's been said already. I think that you have to look at your spiritual practice in at least two parts. And one of those parts is going to be your big picture, which overall has to be rewarding, interesting, and engaging. It's got to be a little bit fun. You know, you can't set out a goal, especially for spiritual work, if you're getting no joy out of it. So shape your big picture, what you want to have as your definition of spirituality or what your definition of success is. Make sure that it's rewarding, and not just rewarding at the end, but rewarding along the way. So that's one of those things where you're like, how do I get back into things? You know, I've been out of this, my practice for a while. I want to get back into it. Okay, what do you find rewarding? You know, if I'm reconnecting with nature and that makes my walks extra rewarding, then that's what I'm aiming for. For the small things like developing routines or some level of consistency, I would say time is more important than time. Or maybe said a little bit different, time set is more important than time spent. If you have consistently meditated and calmed your emotions at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you have really been trying your best to do it for at least 10 minutes a day for a set period of time, those days where you kind of miss, I don't have the whole 10 minutes to sit, what you're going to find is when you hit that 9 o'clock, you acknowledge it, you take a second and clear your thoughts and you move on. You're still building. You didn't actually miss anything. You just altered the length that you spent on that task, but you didn't miss the task, right? And you'll start to build that sort of consistency and repetitiveness where it won't seem so awkward to fit into your day or even make your day fit around it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think as practitioners, especially as ones that may not have, you know, the big flashy track records that some of the more widely known pagan whatever's out there. I'm sorry, my brain is totally mush. I will do my best with this answer. Their worship to us on Instagram or Facebook or Discord or their website or whatever looks very flashy and very showy. And they have all these beautiful trinkets and pictures and aesthetic poses and all these things that look beautiful on their pages. But what we don't see is the mess that's behind it, the mess that it took to create that beautiful altar and that beautiful picture that has just the most beautiful lighting and the most beautiful filter and the little tiny details here and there that took them hours to achieve. Because let's face it, the first picture you take isn't ever going to be perfect. And also, let's face it, those people probably have a shit daily worship when it actually comes to the nitty-gritty of everything. Because to me, your relationship with the divine or your relationship with your ancestors or your relationship with the work, you know, capital W, that relationship always starts with you. It starts with you, your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, your heart, your lungs, everything. To build a consistent practice takes very small steps, especially at the beginning, especially at the re-beginning, especially at the re-re-re-beginning, you know? Always return to yourself, return to your center, return to your heart, return to those very basic practices that you develop as a practitioner. Go back to grounding, go back to centering, go back to cleansing. And these are all things that you can do while under another's roof without them actually knowing. Because grounding could be as simple as getting up out of bed and stretching, but mindfully stretching, reaching all the way out to your fingertips and your toes and waving your arms around and getting back into your body, maybe stomping your feet a little bit. That is practice. Taking a second to find your center, to find your heart, and to just breathe with it for a moment, that is practice. Like Jim said, on those days where normally you can meditate for 10 minutes and it's beautiful and glorious and you feel weightless, but other days you acknowledge that it's 9 o'clock, but I don't have time to meditate today. You still showed up. You still acknowledged that time slot and said, it's 9 o'clock. I see you. I gave you a portion of my time that I could afford to give you today. Because spoons and the lack of them are a real fucking thing. And I'm going to reiterate something that Emily said, was that self-care in and of itself is worship. Because your practice, your worship, your relationship with these deities are nothing if you are burnt out, if you are barely having the energy to get up and light a candle every day. Your relationship with the divine, your relationship with your practice starts with you. And it can be the simplest thing. 3 conscious breaths in the morning where you sit, you don't look at your phone, you don't look at the TV, you don't even say anything to anybody. You just take 3 deep breaths in and 3 exhales out. There's your practice. There's the first baby step. After that, once you get comfortable doing that for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever. Whatever you have to do for yourself to make a consistent practice stay, then you can start adding on new things. And when something no longer fits, drop it. Replace it with something else. that brings a sense of joy, a sense of comfort, a sense of peace or passion or happiness or even quiet. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to practice, individual, group, or otherwise, you have to have a sense of self. You have to have an understanding of who you are as a person before anything sticks, because if you get stuck doing what everybody else is doing or trying to do what they're doing, you're gonna fail. So you can learn from them, you can see what they're doing, but you have to make it your own, because then you can give it to the divine and say, here, this is what I made for you. And every time, I guarantee they'll accept it and they'll be grateful that you showed up for yourself.
Darrenth, were you going to answer? I'm sorry. I was waiting for you.
Can I get the question again? Because like, I was sitting here vibing with that answer.
Yes, I will do my best to truncate it like I did before, because I actually erased what I did to make it easier on myself. So back to questions. Every so often over the years, I'll come to realize that I've stopped doing anything I had put into place for my worship. Sometimes it's due to life. Sometimes I chalk it up to the whole balance theme that's ever so present in my life. And sometimes it happens without me realizing. Oh no, I lost the other part of it. Where did it go?
Okay. Mercury's not even retrograde yet.
Oh, well.
It continues.
I found it. I'm looking for some tips and guidance on not only how to pick back up my spirituality and worship, but also how to make some of these things habitual. Any ideas or tips for someone practicing in a space not their own is a bonus. Thank you all so much. So they're looking for some tips and guidance on how to pick back up and make it habitual.
I think the first thing for me is list your priorities, because your priorities are going to determine in what order you organize your life. And I have to do this because my ADHD can get so bad that I can get so out of control that having a written, sometimes handwritten, but something where you can reference, these are my priorities, this is what needs to get done when. You know, if you're a spirit worker, your list of priorities is going to look different than if you're a person who's getting back into a practice where you don't have a lot of community obligations. So what are your obligations to yourself? What are your obligations to your community? What are your obligations to the gods, the ancestors, the spirits? If you don't have any, cool. You don't need them. You know, it's not 100% thing where, you know, you're going to be a better person by having obligations. Like that's not a thing. I really encourage listing in a paper or a Google Doc or something. What are your priorities? What do you want to see done? And then giving yourself realistic goals to shoot for. I'm going to once a week put down a cup of water for the ancestors. I'm going to once a week meditate for 30 minutes. And I am like, give yourself grace, because sometimes scheduling 30 minutes to do anything is a pain in the ass. What can help is developing a regimen, a discipline, which has adaptability. So if I'm going to say, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes once a week, and I'm going to consistently do it at this point in time, that needs to be as ironclad as you can possibly make it. And you have like maybe one backup day, because for me, that discipline is a necessary component, because without that discipline, everything else for me falls apart. Snow, that's a really, really good point. If 30 minutes is a lot, start with 3. And yeah, I fully agree. Like, put your bar as low as possible and then work up. Do not set yourself a bar that is so high you cannot hope to reach it. And yeah, I also agree with Storm. You need to say that shit out loud, Snow.
Well, it's put that bar as low as you need it.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily as low as possible, because you can also run the other way, because the middle part of this person's message that the Storm kind of read around is about dealing with imposter syndrome. And if you run too far with that, as low as possible, is like, I'm just going to do nothing because I can't. When in actuality, you can probably do more than you think you can, and you can probably do more than you would expect yourself to.
So,
but if 30,
yeah,
that's yeah, a really yeah, you have point. To, yeah, you have to stretch yourself a little,
yeah,
but you don't have to set the bar so high that it's,
yeah.
You know, we don't have to climb Everest next week. It's okay.
Yeah. Two things. One, you set the bar. It's your bar. The bar could be on the fucking floor. It doesn't matter. And two, as someone who suffers and has suffered deeply from imposter syndrome and in that imposter asshole in your head, beat the shit out of that dude, because it is fucking lying to you. It wants to see you fail. And it could be an act of worship to yourself to prove to yourself that you can do it. Even on the days that you miss, you come back and you say, oh no, I can't do it because I missed those days and I fell out of practice for so long. Stop yourself and do the practice right then in that moment as an act of defiance to that thought in your head that called you out and said, well, you can't do this. Because believe me, it is such a fantastic feeling when he shuts up. And yes, in my head, it is a he, because let's face it, that's most of the thoughts in my brain.
I just like the idea that, you know, imposter syndrome, it's funny because I get exactly where you're coming from. I felt it too, but at the same point in time, it's like a lot of times my biggest mistakes weren't when I felt like I was an imposter. Imposter syndrome to a certain degree means the acknowledgement that I might not know everything. I better pay attention to what's going on. Times I really get in trouble is when I go, I know this shit. I am the deal. I know what needs to be done and what needs to be said. And that's usually right when I'm in the trouble spot.
See, I don't deal with imposter syndrome, but I do deal with that other thing where I get hubris every once in a while. And I'm just like, oh, I can handle this. It'll be fine. And meanwhile, my beloved partner is sitting there like, Cabra, did you do this thing to prepare? I'm like, no, it'll be fine. I've done this 50 times before. They'll be like, Cabra, did you do the thing to prepare? I'll be like, no, 50 times. It'll be whatever. And no, I have to listen. I have the opposite problem. I think because my imposter syndrome is like so fleeting. Like anytime that I've had a momentary thing where I'm just like, I'm not a real writer. I turn to myself and I hug myself and I hold my tiny little cheekies and I go, it's not that you aren't a writer, it's that you're not a good writer, because you're a learning writer. You are a beginner writer. We are a novice writer, but a novice is still a person who is. And if you talk to me like that again, I'm putting you in the box, right? Like there's a little baby jail cardboard box in the back of my head. And like Timmy, the anxiety hedgehog, winds up in there all the time.
I would say I definitely am with Storm about imposter syndrome. And I have found it immensely helpful every so often to sometimes like go over my day or kind of keep track of things for a few days at a time to actually see, because I think a lot of times we misjudge how much we're actually, like we might not be doing the practice that we set out for ourselves, but we might be doing a lot of other things that function as devotional activities. Like you still might be saying good morning to your spirits, but that was not in your detailed plan. I used to tell people, oh, I don't do magic at all, until a few people referred to me as a witch and I had to sit down and look at what I was doing during my days. And I was like, oh, I guess I do just on the daily, you know, put some runes in my coffee, galder to the plants, you know, a lot of little different things that I did in my day that it didn't even occur to me. This is part of my practice. And so I think that is also an important aspect that we overlook sometimes, to like take that step back if you can, or if you can't, ask a friend that you trust to, you know, do you see things in my life that I'm doing that I'm not seeing? I think that can be really helpful.
Yeah. I want to back the train up just a little bit, because the mindset that I was answering this question with was like akin to strength training, where you don't want to rack too much weight too early because you're going to blow your muscles out. But you make a really good point, Snow, in that if you don't set the weight high enough, you're not actually doing the damage that your muscles need to grow.
Right. If you just walk in and grab the bar with no weights on it whatsoever, why did you bother turning up to the gym? But at the same time, you don't start off lifting what Rambo lifts.
Rambo didn't start lifting up what Rambo lifts. Like, it's a process.
Yes.
Like, and I think too, kind of in a similar vein to what Storm was saying with regard to Instagram alters, you know, if you apply that to people, you know, when you see Chris Hemsworth take his shirt off and he's got rippling abs and a six pack and he looks cut and everything, it's like, not only is this not a functional body you're looking at, this is a dehydrated, starving body that you are looking at. So when you see these Instagram posts and they are very heavily dulled or lit just beautifully, yes, this person can have a very powerful, very personal, very beautiful practice. That is probably not what their everyday looks like. And moreover, that is the exception and not the rule for most people. If indeed that is that person's everyday, I mean, I admire your dedication to aesthetic, first off. Second off, I appreciate that you have the time and ability to dedicate that much to your shrines and altars. An excellent example of a functional altar that looks incredibly beautiful every time I see it is Mudan Jens on TikTok. Every time I look at her altars, they are gorgeous, but they are incredibly functional. They do not look like some of these dolled up Instagram photos, and that is because they have to be used. And this is also sometimes this is a difference between a shrine and an altar versus an altar is a workspace. A shrine is a space dedicated to admiration of a god. Sometimes shrines are going to look really fucking pretty because they're not being used as a workspace, nor should they be. And again, whether or not a shrine should be used as a workspace is entirely up to traditions, religions, etc. Standard boilerplate there. When it comes to your daily practice, your bar might start on the floor, but you have to be the one to pick it up. And as long as you can do so consistently and give yourself goals that you can realistically reach, you will eventually reach those goals, with the understanding that giving yourself enough space to be able to adapt, as opposed to being so strict that you can't move and so fluid that there's no substance. It's the difference between having a pot of tea versus splashing the water on the floor, right? You need to give some structure so the tea can actually steep something. But if you only drink the tea in this very small temperature range, unless you can do that consistently every single time, deepening your practice is going to be really hard. Go ahead.
No, sorry, you carry on.
Summarizing my point is discipline and adaptability should go hand in hand, because you're the one making the mark here in whatever agreements you do or don't have with the gods, the ancestors, and the spirits. You know, and again, start off with your priority list and then list your obligations. And then what are your responsibilities to those obligations? You know, for me, a lot of it is list making and then taking that list and applying it to how I'm going to construct my practice. And that's how I do a lot of my discipline work. It's why a lot of my stuff looks very similar, whether I'm doing divination or whether I'm doing magic or whether I'm leading a public ritual. I follow these steps because I found they work, but also it helps keep me organized inside and out. And finding those tips and tricks for yourself might be as simple as, hey, so this is the procedure that I've got so far. What do you think of it? It might also be as simple as, this doesn't flow right. I'm gonna modify this. And my Google Doc or my Book of Shadows that serves as my template will change over time. And, just consistently pick the bar up and lift heavier when your body is telling you that it can, or when you feel like, okay, I've hit this challenge point, what's the next step? Just keep at it.
All right. Well, were there any other questions or anything else that we wanted to address?
I know that in the chat, Claire asked what our schedule is going to look like, and I can't answer that because that is a all four of us sitting down and talking with one another on what that's going to look like going forward. But we will let you folks know in the Discord as soon as we can.
You'll know when we know.
So ominous. Love it.
Right? And there is one more question in the chat. Otherwise, is there any new kinds of things our new hosts are wanting to look into? Oh, I like this one.
Any topics you want to discuss or dig deeper into with each other? Because I know you're going to have episodes where it will be just the four of you. So what sort of things are you looking forward to discussing?
Tumbleweed is interesting these days.
It's like crickets, maybe?
No. One thing I'm really interested in talking about is when and how you tell spirits and deities no, because that came up in even today. I was like, sometimes I just look at my ancestors and I'm like, no café hoje, tem problemas, right? We don't have coffee right now, we have problems, right? And I sip my coffee and I walk away. You know, and I turned to someone the other day who was like, I'm really mad. I keep praying to the saints. The thing doesn't happen. And I'm like, it sounds like it's time to bury a statue with upside down in the dirt and be like, you get to come out of there when my problem is solved, you know? And I think that sitting down and talking about how to respectfully have boundaries with these entities is really juicy, because that was part of how I learned about reciprocity, right? Because some of the ways that I have seen people say no and that I have started saying no is, I can't help you if you don't help me, right? So like, I did legit, when I was having stomach issues last year, turn to my ancestors and say, you get coffee when I get to drink coffee. I don't get to drink coffee right now because I have got a medical issue. Bring me a doctor that can fix my medical issue. Until then, we are both having chamomile tea for breakfast. Enjoy, right? Like, I think that would be really interesting. We'd get into that for like 3 hours. It'd be a whole party.
That would be an excellent episode to listen to. What about Emily or Snow? What are certain topics that you would like to dig into a little deeper?
I mean, I'm not sure that any topics are springing to mind currently. I just think it could be interesting just to compare notes, because our sort of backgrounds and angles and frameworks are so different, and even where there is overlap, we're sort of overlapping from different angles. So I just think comparing notes as we go could be really interesting for ourselves as much as for the audience.
Look, I'm just really excited about how much astrology knowledge Snow and Cobber have between themselves, and that they can like just pile on top of Saren's, because he and I are in the same boat when it comes to astrology, to where we're fucking star blind and none of that shit makes any sense.
I know the roots really well, but astrology is a fucking mystery to me.
You read my mind, Storm. I was going to say astrology, because I would love to pick their minds. And like, also, I love both of the suggestions as well. I think too, potentially like bouncing off Snow's suggestion and comparing notes with how we work with our ancestors, particularly, I would be very interested on. I love, Cabra, that you're like, sometimes you're mad and no coffee, because I definitely have had times with my ancestors that I'm like, no, not today. And it took me, coming from a Catholic background, a very, very long time to get to the point to even realize that no was an option with gods and ancestors and spirits in general. It might be interesting also to talk about baptism, just from I went through a ritual this year to remove my Catholic baptism, and that was a thing that affected me a lot, and so that might be interesting. I'm not sure if that's too niche, but from my perspective, initiations in general, but from my perspective, coming from a Catholic background, having been baptized and confirmed, and going through a process, which I think is probably different for everybody, because I didn't go through the church directly, because the way they do it is, yeah, different. But I had to go through the spirits to have that removed. And so I think that would be an interesting thing that to talk about.
Yeah, I think some Satanists have a similar thing they call unbaptism. It doesn't sound like that was exact. Maybe it was a thing. I don't know. But yeah, we can talk about unbaptism and blasphemy and breaking of ritual taboo as an important like initiation thing. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who on their way to their path, the first thing that they needed to do was a little Hail Satan, just to prove that the thunder wasn't going to come down, that they weren't going to get struck by lightning just for like raising the horns once or twice, right? And as far as astrology goes, I am sure that Snow and I are going to have a hilarious moment where something happens and we're just like, oh, this is the planet that's probably messing up your week, right? So like earlier people were talking about car problems and people are acting like a little more off kilter than usual. And in the back of my head, I'm like, it's that Mars thing that's been going on since like what, end of September, early October. And then Snow's going to come in and with the 15 different dignities that they use. And it's just like, one day we have to actually get into why you use so many dignity systems overlapping, because it absolutely boggles my mind. I can only keep track of one. But yeah, the planet to blame for the week is Mars.
Because why would I do something the simple way when I can do it every way?
I don't know, heathen Hermesis. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm sure astrology will come up whether we plan on it or not. But sort of, I guess, branching off of that, is there anything that you guys would want us to talk about going forwards, maybe?
I want you to unabashedly talk about your personal paths. Y'all have listened to me wax on for 5 fucking seasons talking about mine.
Dude, y'all have heard me fucking cry on this show. Like, the gloves are off, man.
Yeah, just bring your whole fucking self.
Yep. Yep. Whole self forward. Even if it takes you, you know, 1 foot at a time, just bring your whole self forward. Let us know who the three of you are.
What do you think? That sounds like a pretty good wrapping spot to me. What do you guys think?
Agreed.
All right. Well, I just, you know, thank you to Sarah and Caitlin. Thank you to the new co-hosts, our moderators, to our amazing Discord community, our Patreon supporters, the subscribers that we have on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all the other places they follow us, the followers on YouTube channels and just everywhere. So much abundant thank yous. It's just been amazing to be at the forefront of this community for so long. And I'm equally blessed to be able to see new faces step up to tend the fire. And it's just been an incredible, incredible journey. And with that, I guess.
I just want to say a simple thank you for this journey to both of you. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for helping me grow and supporting me through ups and downs and highs and lows and sides and twists and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And thank you to the community for our time behind the helm. And I can't wait to see where they steer the boat. You know, that's on fire and probably sinking, but you know, it wouldn't be a chaos without it. I love you guys.
No, I love you too. Okay. Sarah, you were going to say something?
One last thing. It has been a privilege and an honor serving this community with the both of you. Bright blessings on your journeys wherever they take you. May the spirit of this fire always burn in your hearts, and may it light your way even as you take steps. And then a journey away from this fire, this is always going to be burning and waiting for you. Hail to you both.
Well, thank you, everybody, once again. Till next time, when we see you around the fire.